Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 127. Yes, this is the 127th edition here at the Caffeination, and if you can't tell by the sound of my voice, this is the Stuffed Up edition. We are a day late, more than a dollar short at this point, but we're trying to keep going, trying to give you the best possible show that we can. Last night, everything was set to record. It was right around 11:25, 11:30. Brother-in-law and I have been in the basement playing Guitar Hero for way too long. Beat it on medium, played Freebird. It was awesome. Everybody was cheering. And then the boys started screaming and didn't stop till somewhere around 1:30. So we put everything off. And I actually did end up going to the doctors today. Got a little help for the voice thing, for the whole stuffed up congestion thing, for all the different pains and everything that are ailing me currently. So hopefully we'll be all right as rain by the next time I do a show, and I won't have to talk completely out of my mouth and not be able to breathe out of my nose at all. So the vocal quality is going to improve markedly, I promise all of you. So hope everybody out there is having a really nice day, really a good beginning to your week. I know Mondays can be a little hectic. Sorry you didn't have your caffeination to help you along your way, but you know, we're planning on being a little bit stricter with the time schedule, trying to get it done and early on Sunday nights to avoid this kind of thing from happening again. But we have a good show for you lined up today. We have a whole little bit of tech tidbits, a couple little fun things I found snooping around online past couple days. Added one or two in today just so it'd stay nice and fresh and current. Then, of course, we have our tech talk returning. Yes, we were doing laptop v desktop. We're going to talk about the differences between the two of them, basically the compatibility issues, the whole bevy of different things that you need to really take into account before you choose which one's best for you. And then lastly, we have the caffeinated links and food tech. So we'll give you that. And there's no musical accompaniment on today's show other than the sultry sounds of my voice. So I hope you're all right with that. I am going to be getting back to doing the PodSafe Music Network. And I think I found a good solution for how I'm going to do it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to about 15 or 20 songs, throughout the course of the week. And I'm going to just have a larger playlist. It used to be that I had like three or four in there and that I could just pull one out when I wanted one. But it's been so long since I really spent a lot of time listening to PodSafe Music and sorting through the stuff that didn't have any curse words, didn't have any, had a nice flow to it. I mean, it's easy and fine to find music that's, clean, but it's hard to find good music. So we're trying to keep along that road and keep it nice and G to PG rated around here. Hopefully everybody enjoys the content that you're getting. So in case you're wondering, this is the Caffeination Podcast, located over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, whatever else you'd like to throw our way, you can email us at caffeination@gmail.com, or you could actually register for the mailing list over at our website. Just up at the top of the page, you'll see a little tab that says register. You just click fill that out and you will be added into our weekly mailing list. You'll get a show right before each You'll get an email, rather, right before each show posts, so you'll know when to go there and download. There's also a super special secret download link to the show within that email, so in case you'd like to get the audio and you're not in front of your iTunes or wherever, whatever else you use to pull it down, yeah, you can do it right there. It's nice and easy. All right, first up, a word from our sponsor. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen will show up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, trainings, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want and as long as you need. So that, that really helps with the creative process, really helps you get going, because you never know when an idea might strike. So with GoToMeeting, you'll not only save a whole bunch of time, but a lot of money, too. You can see for yourself. No more flying all across the country just for a half-hour meeting. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, Lee, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for sponsoring this podcast and continuing to be a valued supporter here. That we have paid off all the hosting fees for this year, so we are footloose and fancy-free, rather. It's a nice feeling to not have that hanging over your head. So hopefully we'll be able to supplement you know, the other runnings of the podcast, anything that goes wrong with the computer, we'll actually be able to pay for out of that budget. It's gonna be nice actually having something to rely on for once, you know, without having to influence the household budget. So again, thank you very much for GoToMeeting. You're making this show that much more possible, and this show would be nothing without all of you, the listeners. Thank you very much for sticking around as long as you have, and for listening to me babble for about 6 minutes with no real content, so to speak. I just wanted to give a little short update, and then we're going to get right on into the tech tidbits for everybody. As of right now, my father's still in the hospital, and I can't go see him at this point because I'm sick and I've had a fever off and on today. So I have to wait until my fever breaks or he gets out of the hospital to get this all up and running. It's more than a little frustrating at this point. They've extended his stay a little bit, so we're all hoping and praying that it's going to go as smoothly as it should. So doctor seems fairly confident, so do my parents, so we're trying to make sure that this all works out like it should. Everything else is going rather swimmingly around here. The semester for at least the students that I work with is over as of tomorrow on Tuesday, which is outstanding, let me tell all of you that. It has been one hellish week, or three, this past couple. It's just been running me ragged. I mean, I'm pretty sure you've heard it in my voice. I've just been nothing but tired. So, you know, the whole infant thing, the whole long days at work, it's just every once in a while it just drags you down. And my parents actually were the ones who said it. You know, at the end of every semester, specifically the spring ones, you really look like crap. I was like, well, thank you very much. It's good to get that positive affirmation from your parental units. But, I mean, but besides that, they always say that I end up running myself into the ground at the end of the semester. So I might try a little different tack. Later on, you know, different semesters, we're going to try and operate things a little differently. But that's not what you came to hear about today. You came to hear about all about the offbeat tech news that I found laying around the internet, just sitting there for anybody to pluck. So first of all, if you don't have the show notes sitting in front of you and you'd like to follow along with the rest of us, with the rest of the class, as it were, you can head on over to caffeination.com at www.caffeination.com. That's where you'll find all the show notes and everything, and you can spend some time looking at other stuff that we have in there, recipe section, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a really good time to sort around in there, and you can see some of the other sites that we listen to and read on a regular basis. So all right, I had to refresh the palette there just a little bit, but get right on into the tech tidbits here. Now, we have Go Anywhere Virtual Reality. Now, if you've ever been on one of those virtual reality tours, they have there's a couple different flavors of them that are out there. They have the helmet with the hands that you put on, like this giant, massive helmet, like from Spaceballs, that you put over your head, and then there's like these hands that your arms are out at 90 degrees, and you rotate the whole thing. You can't really move in this situation. You just kind of turn one way or the other, and the camera on the inside actually senses your movement and turns you to it. And yeah, you end up having to move forward with buttons and stuff like that. It can get a little bit disconcerting. Or they have the treadmill variety, where you end up rotating with a button on the mask, and then there's a treadmill that you're actually walking on. Well, they now have the newest advancement in this. It's called the String Walker. Basically, there's a... I think it just does it through a series of strings, which would explain the name. But there's a kind of like a circle on the ground, and what it does is when you're standing in the circle, you operate your in-game avatar by just doing as you would in the normal world. You turn the direction that you'd like to go and begin walking in that direction. So what does it do? Well, you can't take big honking steps there. No goose stepping in the middle of the string walker, because it has kind of what looks to be about a 2.5-3 foot radius around the circle, or across the circle. 2.5-3 foot diameter, rather, through the center of the circle, so you can take a nice size step if you're a tall gentleman such as myself. But you know, I don't think you're going to be doing any jogging or anything like that, but it allows you range of motion, allows you freedom to move around in the virtual world as you want to do. So it seems to be an interesting idea, and I really like the way that they've operated it, and they've ingrained it into the technology. It seems to be a real interesting direction that this is all going. So, you know, just want to throw that out there, let you know about that. So, coming soon to an arcade near you, Dance Dance String Walker. All right. Now, you've already had... Now, if you've had enough imagination, enough money, and enough power in your life to purchase one of those string walkers, then you might be somebody who might be interested in the next little gadget we have here. With great power comes great naps, apparently. They have a new... It's called Metro Naps. Basically, it's a strange pod. Like, did you ever see one of those old ergonomic chairs that looked like the giant egg that you'd sit in and it was hollowed out? Imagine a round sphere with a... like a daybed laying out in the middle of it. It looks like Pac-Man with his tongue sticking out, basically. And what this is it's called an energy pod. Now, for $8,000, the paltry sum of $8,000, you can have one of these chair-like objects sitting in your office or wherever you are, and it allows you to take power naps. Yeah, pretty sure I've seen some students in the labs just using their face on the keyboard, and that seems to work fine for them, and you know what? They have $8,000 in their pocket that they're not wasting. But hey, I guess if you have the money, you have the time, and you have the inclination, then the power nap, or the energy pod, rather, might be for you. But the rest of us are going to stick to coffee and passing out when when our body just can't take anymore. So I want to pass that along, see what everybody thought of that. Another little fun thing I saw about, you know, given that I work in the education industry, I'm always interested in educational applications that come down the pike. So we have real open source applications for education, as written about over at Slashdot. Basically, they're trying to let people know about an open source software solution foundation. All they do, this specific foundation, all they do is find and develop applications for use in education, both elementary, middle, high school, higher education. And I really like this idea. I really like the idea of trying to standardize versions, trying to make them geared more towards you know, students being able to learn. And there was another story floating around that I actually couldn't find right in time to put on the show. But it basically talked about the open source 3D rendering applications that were out there. One of them is called Blender. And it says basically they've kind of been stagnant for a while. And some solution like this, the Center, C-E-N-T-R-E, an open source student information system. So basically, we can just hope that they'll start working on the 3D rendering applications, and then that'll get back up and running. But they have CAD software, they have Office software, they have math and graphing and statistics, and it's just amazing the length and breadth of the educational software that the open source community has developed. And this is a advocacy group and basically a Sherlock Holmesian kind of group. They're trying to steer the education industry in the right direction. And so, hey, I just thought it was kind of fun. Thought I'd throw it out there. I'm going to give it a little bit more of a look-see when the summer starts so that we can start evaluating packages to install in school and everything. Next up, a little fun gadget that I found around. There's a little bit of a story behind this. I'm a fan of wacky clocks. I actually have the Route 66 neon sign clock in my basement right behind me somewheres. And for Christmas one year, my parents actually bought me a Lionel train set clock, where every hour on the hour, this ungodly loud train would actually circle the dial of the clock and hoot for how many times that the hour was. Now, this doesn't seem to be the same thing, but this is a clock within a wheel. So whenever the alarm goes off, apparently, or whenever it chimes on the hour, the wheel starts spinning and squealing out. And there's a little gear shift on there for low drive, drive, and neutral. So, hey, if you're a car enthusiast or you know one, you might find this interesting. It's kind of cocked off to the one side, but nobody can seem to find a price on this. Hey, it's a novelty clock. I'm guessing right around $25, unless, you know, it's a novelty clock that actually has a lot of money put in behind it. But still, let's see what else we have here. All right, first of all, for those of you not in the know, there's actually a tournament coming out for Xbox Live Arcade for all about Pac-Man, basically. Yeah, there's a worldwide tournament to see who's the best Pac-Man player out there, the highest score. I forget all the different rules and everything out there. It says basically how you break 1 million points in it and everything like that. So there's some large prize at the end of it, but that's not what I came to talk to you about today. No, today I came to talk to you about is a book from 1982. It says, How to Get the Pac-Man Score of Your Dreams. 702 views. Yes, there's actually strategy guides for Pac-Man. So you can head on over to Kotaku and see this. It is crazy to see, and they actually have the full link to the PDF. So if you're in that competition, or if you'd like to be in that competition, or if you ever wonder what kind of strategy guides you would have for Pac-Man, other than eat the dots, don't hit the ghosts, eat the big dots, eat the ghosts, and find the fruit when you can. You know, if you think you can get a little bit more into it, the patterns, like apparently there's patterns that you're supposed to take that are the optimal the dot getting materials, and each one of the ghosts apparently has a different sort of personality, and each one behaves slightly differently. I don't know, they said like the red one follows you more often than the pink one, and it's craziness, like how it detailed and in-depth some of this stuff is. And that's not even the stuff that I know is in the book, but so it's basically, do you want to play Pac-Man? Do you enjoy the game? Would you want to increase your best score? Would you want your game to last longer than ever before? Would you like to break a million points? Do you want to develop your own strategies? Yes, then this book is for you. So you can head on over there and check that out. I just thought it was kind of a fun little throw into the show today. Let's see what we have up here. Okay, next thing we have here is antivirus and spyware on a thumb drive. Well, now, first of all, before you get into this, there's actually a link up there over to go to portableapps.com. They have all the different portable applications that you can throw on a thumb drive, and one of which is actually a anti-spyware and any virus application. So, but there's a company out there called SLC that is developing specific thumb drives that are what appears to be preloaded vaccination kits. So if you know a computer's infected, you can plug this in. It's read-only, so what it does is it goes through the computer, scans the computer, removes any of the infections. It's kind of like a little antibiotic for your computer. So... right now I'm chock full of the little guys myself, so just thought it might be interesting to pass along. No word on price on this little thing, and I didn't really dig too far into it, but I'm going to stick with the free versions as of right now until I find a better one out there. Let's see. Next little story we have here is shell housing providing cheap radio-equipped housing for the homeless. What do you say? Well, there's a bunch of design students up in NYU actually crafted, there was a contest that said, you know, you had to use cardboard and create a housing system out of it for homeless people. So what they did was they took about $35 worth of cardboard and created a expandable housing system, basically like a tent for homeless people, so where you could deploy them in... as need be throughout the city or whatever else. So it was a do-it-yourself product. But the fun thing is that they're apparently radio equipped. I'm not sure what kind of radio it is, but just, you know, I guess this is for your real hardcore day traders. If they're out there and they get a little Wi-Fi antenna in the top of the thing, then you know, they can do their trading as they see fit. But it doesn't really seem to be able to withstand water very well, so I'm hoping that they're at least using the wax cardboard, because that would probably withstand water significantly better than the current incarnation. But hey, it folds completely up. You can take it around. It's roughly $35 to create, so just thought it was fun, thought it would put it out there. And then from the ultimate low-tech to the ultimate high-tech. Now, like I said, I work in an architecture department in a local university here, and our plotters are basically gigantic inkjet printers. These things can plot anywhere from 36 to 42 inches, the ones that we have, and they plot hundreds of feet in any given week. The past week alone, one of our plotters, the only one that I have accurate stats for at this point, has plotted out what looks like to be around 8 or 9 rolls of paper. So that's like over 900 feet of paper have been plotted out of just this one machine. So, you know, the discipline of architecture is all about you know, showing final products and everything. And there's a kind of apparatus called a 3D printer, which allows different people to create something on the computer. You hit print and it builds your object out of particulate matter. It can be cornstarch, it can be oil, it can be resin, it can be plastic. Well, there's always a huge price gap for the amount of materials that you use and for the amount that the machine itself costs. We actually investigated it to see exactly if we could afford one. The answer was no. One printer costs anywhere from $15,000 to $50,000 for a 3D printer. And the thing is, it's not like you just click print and all of a sudden your little cog widget gadget, whatever it else it is, you know, your little iPod clone gets built in like 4 seconds. No, it takes hours upon hours to handcraft and meticulously design and pick these objects. So, you know, it can be a long and painstaking process, and it's incredibly cost prohibitive for some of the smaller schools that are out there. Well, they now have brought the idea of a 3D printer, and admittedly it's a much smaller space that you can use to build these things, but they've brought it down to a much more manageable level. Now, they're saying at-home printing, so then they're trying to, you know, relate it to the Star Trek replicator. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but it's awesome that they've actually brought the price point down to $5,000 to $7,000. So they're saying think it's roughly around the price point of the first laser printer. So we are seeing a truly revolution in the world of printing. So I don't know what the average person would use one of these gizmos for, but it seems kind of cool to me. Hey, you can probably make your own keys, but you know, they're only like $1.75 at the hardware stores, so maybe $5,000 to $7,000 is a little steep for you. Next up, we have a fun little gadget. I always like these things where it's a. I'm a big fan of USB gadgets, in case you haven't seen that. But there's a USB 9-in-1 card reader. So basically, it's a it's not your average card reader. It's a normal USB key, but when you pop open the lid, there's actually a space to put a 1 gigabyte, 2 gigabit, SD, micro SD, and I think there's a couple other connectors in there. But it says the thing itself, the fun part about it, the part that I like, is that the actual key is only $9. It's called the Mobile Light Kingston key. The memory cards that are in there are, you know, for a 1 gigabit SD, it's $22.99. For a 2 gigabit, it's $34.99. I mean, these are prices that I would use, and you could keep like a little bunch of them in storage, and you have one ubiquitous key that you use. You don't have to sit there and have like an entire keychain full of these tiny little fobs. So it's just kind of fun, kind of cool. Thought I'd throw that out there again. Now, one of the last little things we have here, actually the last thing for the standard tech tidbits we have here today, is actually called Uncle Milton. Now, how many of you out there have an Uncle Milton? Well, he might be a prankster, he might not. That's the only reason I can think that they named this creature Uncle Milton. It's a remote-controlled tarantula. It just looks awesome. It looks really creepy. The legs actually don't move with the creature, so it's not like it's crawling along the floor. But they wiggle enough to give the impression of being somewhat alive. Do not let it fool you with the picture on the front of the page if you head on over there. This is from Gizmodo, but They show you a very realistic tarantula. It's, you know, with the black, with the orange stripes, and the whole nine yards. But the video that they have up there is rather mundane. The legs do move, but they don't crawl. They just move up and they kind of do a little shimmy. So it is pretty freaky to actually watch, but it looks very non-threatening because of the coloration they used. I'm assuming that they don't want it to be used to scare people, so I can only assume that it's meant to be somewhat similar to the orange painted safety caps or orange, bright safety orange caps that were on the end of Cap and BB guns for the longest time. And now they just make the entire gun orange, probably because young gentlemen such as myself would paint the orange tip on the gun so it looked like a real gun because that was so much cooler. Not thinking of the myriad of stories that were coming out at that point in time about a kid brandishing a gun towards a cop and a cop fires, only to have, unfortunately, it be the fact that the kid had a water pistol or something. So, yeah, it wasn't necessarily the brightest knife in the drawer at all times, but hey. And speaking of the brightest knife in the drawer here, we are re-recording the rear end of this show today. Why? Including the Tech Talk upcoming. Because for some reason, there was this hideous buzzing in the middle of the show. No clue what it is. Happens every once in a while. It's always, of course, the worst possible minute. So we're going to stop a couple times throughout the show to try and make sure all the audio is nice and crisp and clean as it should be. And we apologize for any buzzing and popping that might come through. Aside from our normal hacking and coughing and everything that's going on. Now we have a time for our tech talk. We have kind of been putting this off for a little while because we wanted to make sure we had enough information and a lot of good stuff to say about this. The first tech talk in a long time, we're going to talk a little bit about laptop v desktop, a little bit of laptops versus desktops, the pros and cons of each. I'm much more of a desktop person for the average user. I'm not necessarily a big proponent of people who don't need them getting laptops. I've seen what can happen to people. In the education industry, we have, or not in the education industry, but in my department rather, we have one faculty member who is unbelievably rough with her computers. I mean, it's so much so to the fact that they drop off coffee tables, they take dives from unnatural heights. I've seen laptops with 3-year-old people footprints in the middle of the screen. I've seen, you know, crazy things dropped and drilled into laptops. The one user in question, actually, when I opened up the keyboard on her old Mac laptop, there was actually coffee in between the keyboard, the guard behind the keyboard, and then the guard and the motherboard. So at some point in time, the coffee had seeped down into the computer and seeped all over the motherboard. And hopefully it was off at that point, because it was still functioning for hours and days after the fact. But yeah, you know, that computer ended up being no more because she dropped it off a coffee table. And apparently a fall from about 3 feet destroyed both back hinges and the front clasp and a bunch of other stuff on this metal and plastic behemoth of a laptop. But hey, on to the rundown of the price and the difference and everything else like that between the laptops and the desktops. Now, usually there's an order of magnitude between the price difference. Desktop will buy you roughly, I'd say, 55 cents on the dollar for what you're getting with a laptop. So if you have $2,000 to spend, you're going to get a half-decent laptop or an awesome desktop computer. It's the struggle versus the mobile and the sedentary lifestyle. It's like, how do you want your computing environment to be set up? Are you somebody who's always on the go? I mean, this is the basic question. I mean, despite what I'm going to say from here on out about the laptops versus desktops, here's what you really have to ask yourself. Your style of work, your style of functionality in this whole thing, what would be the best computer for you? Is the best computer for you something that where you have a reliable machine at home? Whenever you get there, you have something to connect to the internet with, you have something to do your work on, you need such a powerful machine that you won't be able to carry it with you? Or do you need something you're always on the go? You're stuck in airports for 90% of your life, and you need to be able to work on things. You need to be able to have productivity applications at your fingertips. And then a laptop's for you. I mean, that's the plain and simple truth right there. Now, for those people who are on the fence, I'm here to try and give you a little bit of an insight as to why a laptop might not necessarily be the choice for you. The first one is price. For every dollar you spend on a laptop, you could spend 55 cents to get the same desktop. And this is just a general comparison here. But basically, you know, the kind of desktop that you could buy for $2,000 is an incredibly nice desktop. From any one of the major retailers, you could have a desktop put together that would last you for years. And this is another thing, it's longevity. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a little while, but you know, this will last you for years. The laptop that you buy for $2,000 is not going to. It's going to last you about 3.5 years, maybe, if you're lucky, and it runs through its life cycle. The second thing I want to talk to you a little bit about, well, first of all, back to price, sorry. Don't want to get ahead of myself here. The main thing about price is that even the parts for laptops are more expensive. The RAM is more expensive. Extra hard drives are more expensive. Any little tiny piece that breaks on it, because it's on a laptop, because it's that much miniaturized as compared to its larger cousins, it is much more expensive. So you can get a hard drive, like a 100 gig hard drive, for a PC for like 50, 60 bucks. You can get a 100 gig hard drive for a laptop for like $160 to $180. So, I mean, you really have, you know, a large price gap in the different parts. If that's something you really can't look forward to, you really wouldn't be able to afford to replace that, then you need to, first of all, get the extended warranty. You always do that with laptops. I'm not really a big fan of it with PCs because, you know, I build my own, I fix my own. It doesn't have the same draw to me. You can't build your own laptop. Well, you probably could, but it just wouldn't be the exact same as you think it would be. But, all right, that's that little section. The next one's upgradability. When you have a desktop, when you have a tower kind of setup, you can gut that thing. You can rip every single individual part out of it, no matter who makes it. You can, if you try hard enough, you can put completely new innards in there. You can gut it out and put a gateway inside a Dell inside a gateway, a no-name brand inside whatever. I mean, you could do it if you felt like it. So you can upgrade and replace every single part of it. It's basically an entirely user-serviceable machine. Whereas with laptops, they have tiny little hatches on the back. And so, oh, you want more RAM? You pop these four tiny little screws off, and you get in there, and you can put RAM in. That's it. Or you want to swap the battery, okay, a little button here, and that's all you can do. Oh, you want to replace your hard drive? Well, we've had some problems with that, so we made a little slide here for you. So, I mean, that's all you can do. Some laptops are out there, some of the $4,000 or $5,000 laptops are out there, and they actually allow you to switch out the video cards. But again, the video cards are so much more expensive when compared to their terrestrial cousins, I guess you could say. Now, the next thing we really want to talk about is durability. You have to understand the idea and the place that laptops versus desktops are coming from. How often are you going to move your desktop when it's sitting at home? You're going to move it if you move the furniture in the house. You're going to move it if you move to a different house. You're going to move it if you're a LAN party kind of guy. You're going to take it from one set place to another. It's not going to be used in a precarious position 9 times out of 10. You're not going to be sitting there with the desktop balanced on the side of the table with the cord hanging out across the floor waiting for your three-year-old to trip over it. No. You're going to be have it in a very set location that the desks and the surrounding area are going to be built and manufactured so that you can actually get work done at this behemoth of a piece. Laptops, not so much. Laptops are always in danger of being dropped. They're always in danger of having some catastrophic injury that you have no control over. Like, how about putting your laptop on the ground when you're getting everything together on your desk and having somebody walk by and step on it? That might not necessarily be something you think about. Or let's just say you have your laptop sitting there. It's all nice and pretty on your desk. You have a little cord sticking out going around the side of your desk. Somebody comes by with their little bag hanging a little low, catches the cord, pulls the laptop right off the desk. Dead laptop. You put your laptop in your bag, you drop your bag without thinking. Oh, it has padding. Yeah, of course it does. Not that much. In our department, we actually have somebody who's so ungodly horrible on laptops that, you know, we were thinking about getting the ruggedized laptop for her. We've actually convinced her to get a PC just because the PCs versus the Macs are even a little bit more durable. The Macs are very beautiful laptops. They're very functional laptops. But they do not handle physical abuse nearly as well as some of the PCs. That's not to say that the PC she currently has is coming through with flying colors. This is a very hard riding user. She's the Apache of the department. She rides her horses into the ground. So, you definitely have to consider that. Are you a user? Do you use technology and would you abuse this piece of equipment? If so, you need to plan for that eventuality. The normal laptop, despite what some of the salespeople for the different departments say, oh, I'll drop my laptop right now. Of course you will. It's an expense account. If it doesn't end up working, okay, you lost one client and they get you a new laptop. It's not like it comes out of your salary. But then again, if you move on to the next level and you say, okay, well, he's willing to drop his laptop, but is he willing to drop it in this manner? Is he willing to have me accidentally push it off the desk? So you really have to take into account a bunch of different things. For one, we were in a meeting with a hardware vendor, which shall remain nameless at this point in time. And they were saying, oh, yeah, we've determined that 90% of laptop falls occur when the laptop hits flat on the ground, where, either the screen side or the keyboard side smack flat on the ground, kind of belly flop onto linoleum. Well, really, 90% of the falls that I've seen from laptops, they always end up slamming on the hinge or on the corner or on the side or falling in some awkward manner to destroy utterly your machine. So it can be all well and good for flat flops onto the linoleum, but as soon as you add the force of an 8-pound object falling onto one tiny little plastic joint, it's going to pop like a turkey at Thanksgiving. So, all right. Now, the next thing we have here is power. Now, along with price comes power. It's like you can buy an insanely powerful laptop. You can buy an insanely powerful desktop. Again, the price difference between an insanely powerful laptop and an insanely powerful desktop is seriously still about 55 cents on the dollar. But you are going to be able to get a more versatile machine out of a desktop. Another thing is the advantage of having a desktop is that you can dictate what kind of machine you end up with. If you're the kind of person who likes to tinker with things, you can build your own desktop. Like I said before, you're really not going to end up building your own laptop. Now, the machine that I am currently working on, currently recording this podcast and praying to God that it doesn't actually have that loud hissing buzzing behind my voice at this point in time, now, the machine, it's one of the ones that I've actually built myself. Now, I built it 6 years ago, and it's in a slightly different incarnation as it is right now. And 6 years ago, I built it and put it together for right around $1,000. And at that point in time, it would have been somewhere between a $1,600 to $2,200 machine if I had just bought it outright. I have put $200 into it over the past 6 years to fix it and repair it and upgrade it and, with a little goodwill from friends and a couple parts that were donated, even if I had to pay for those parts, it probably still would have cost me under $350 to $400 to upgrade and maintain the computer to a working state to this day. Whereas a laptop, you can only do so much to that machine. I would have had to buy another laptop. I would have had to spend another $2,000 to get an equivalent laptop to what I'm currently using as a desktop. So, I mean, that's definitely something to think about. If you do not have that kind of if you don't have that kind of leverage to work with in your budget, then you might want to be more than hesitant about buying a laptop that you can't replace if something goes wrong. Small aside here. The worst thing that can happen and the most catastrophic injuries that can happen to your data are not necessarily that you have a hard drive crash, something explodes, because if you really need it, you can pay someone to recover the data at that point. The most catastrophic thing that can happen to your laptop is that it gets stolen, that somebody just walks away with the laptop, because you can buy a charger anywhere. A charger is like $30. Laptop, hey, that's $2,000 and all of your data that just walked out the door. So if I can impress anything upon somebody who uses a laptop all the time, if I can impress anything, rather, back your data up constantly, all the time. If you have a laptop, back it up weekly. If you're working on a big project, back it up daily. I mean, back it up to an external hard drive, burn it to a DVD, do whatever you have to do to get an external and usable copy off to a different place. So that way, if your laptop's stolen, by the way, just in case you were wondering, do not keep the backup hard drive in the case with your laptop. Because if someone takes the laptop, they might end up taking the case that goes with it, and that will be your backup drive. Just a little hint for the word to the wise, so to speak. And the last little thing we had here is a little story about heat. Now, if your computer overheats, what happens? Okay, you get a little smoke coming out the back, you might get a little flameage going on, but nothing really catastrophic when it comes to that. I haven't heard any stories about somebody's PC going ape and burning down the house. I have heard stories about laptops going ape and exploding. So you have slightly different technology there. There is no battery backup system in a PC, standardly. But that's neither here nor there. This is a little bit about heat. Now, if your PC is overheating, what does it really harm? Nothing. You're far enough away that it doesn't do anything to you. If your laptop overheats, what's it doing to you? Well, it's cooking your thighs and anything else that might be down there. So you could be burning yourself. You could be messing with yourself. I mean, you could do a whole bevy of things with some of the new technology that they have out there in these laptops. They're making them faster, stronger. They're the bionic computers, and they are hot. You can damn near cook an egg on the back of a MacBook at times. So, hey, just a word to the wise there. That wraps up the tech talk, the laptop v desktop little situation we had going there. Hope it was clear enough for you. Hope we were able to influence people and explain the differences between the two systems and everything like that. If you have any questions, any comments, feel free to add them after the podcast, or hey, you can email them to caffeination@gmail.com. And the podcast lives, as we said before, over at caffeination.com, caffeination.com. So now we have a fun little section of the Caffeination podcast. This is the Tech Talks, the Caffeinated Links and Food Tech section. It's always fun to play around in this section here, but yeah, there we go. All right, it's more proof that I can live forever. Basically, there's a story out there talking and touting the benefits of different products. We all know that coffee in specific has benefits such as Alzheimer's disease. It keeps away. And they say a 10-year study found that it made a 4-fold reduction in the rate of mental decline in old age. So basically, the more coffee you drink, you have a 1 in 4, or you have a 4 times better chance of retaining your mental acuity, your mental endowment, well into your old age. So yeah, that's pretty cool. So I know I'm going to be sharp as a tack, or sharp as whatever object I might be as sharp as right now, well into my 80s and 90s if I survive that long. Next little thing we had up here, actually we're going to jump around a little bit about, good and bad. Well, is coffee good or bad for you? Well, it says coffee can be harmful to you if you do this or that, and it says serious coffee drinkers tell you there's nothing like a good cup of coffee to get your day going. Yes, I know many people have actually suggested that I get more coffee in the morning because I'm miserable in the morning, but they basically run down a list of some of the benefits that coffee provides. First thing is that it's protective and preventative effect on colon and liver cancer, has little or no effect on any of the other cancers that are around, also has a very high effect on possible. It says if you drink more than 4 cups of coffee a day during pregnancy, you can risk childhood leukemia. So if I ever get pregnant, I'll definitely cut down on my intake there. It also reports on dermatology that it says if you drink as many as 60 cups of hair, 60 cups of hair, 60 cups of coffee a day, it can actually increase your hair growth. No clue as to what that was from and how they found that out. And who out there is drinking 60 cups of coffee a day? That's an insane total. I might have to try it, but I have all my hair, so I think we're all right. They said there's all kinds of compounds in there. It says coffee wards off cavities. I'd hate to see how many cavities I had if I didn't have coffee, because I actually have one or two every time I go into the dentist, but still. Let's see what else we have here. Of course, there's the mental acuity tests and everything like that. So that's what's good for you. Now, one of the things that I had linked up here, it's kind of a fun little article. Now, I'm from Philadelphia, Philly as it were, and one of the main culinary masterpieces that our city is famous for is the Philadelphia cheesesteak, the Philly cheesesteak. It's a wonderful, crazy concoction. It's basically sliced or chipped top round meat, fried on a flat skillet and scooped in with cheese, fried onions or whatever else you feel like putting in there, and put on a long roll. In Philadelphia, they're also called hoagie rolls, which is basically like a sub or a grinder or something like that. They're really the long, soft rolls. Most people will tell you, at least in Philly, that the roll makes the sandwich. You can't have them on a hard roll. It just doesn't taste right. Most people don't think so anyway. But if you're ever in Philadelphia, I avail all of you to please try the cheesesteak. There's a handful of places across the United States, and even the world, rather, that can actually make you an official and authentic Philly cheesesteak. And according to one of the guys I work with, there's actually a place in Hawaii where the guy gets the dough from the local bakery in Philadelphia shipped out to him overnight every day so that he can make authentic Philly cheesesteaks out there. And the guy I work with walked in, said, "All right, I'll bite. I'm from Philly. Let me try one of your sandwiches." The guy gave it to him free of charge and said, "All right, tell me if I'm up to par. Tell me if this is a cheesesteak." And sure enough, it was. So he got a free cheesesteak out of the deal. And he took him into the back and showed him all the crates from FedEx and everything and said, "Hey, this is how we get our dough." So I just thought it was kind of cool to share that little bit of a culinary masterpiece with everybody out there. I'm a very big Philly man, so I thought I'd pass that along. Hopefully it'll engage some of you in our culinary distress. All right, we have two little things here left in the caffeinated tech and food links and all that, or caffeinated links and food tech. All right, I'm going to have to come up with a completely new moniker for this section, but still. We are fans of toasters here at the Caffeination. I love toasters. I think they're fun little gadgets. I mean, they're very utilitarian, but some of the more interesting stuff has come out recently, so I thought I'd give you the David Letterman-style top 10 futuristic toasters that are out there. First off, they have the bonus one. I'm actually going to switch the bonus toaster with the number 10, because the number 10 they had was real boxes, fake products. It was basically a fake USB toaster. We're not going to put fake products in this. We're going to switch out number 11, basically, which is easily make toasted sandwiches with a toaster bag. So it says for just $5.99, you can buy a toaster bag and let it turn your toaster into a sandwich maker. So they're basically little plastic baggies that don't melt when you put them in the toaster oven. All right. The Totenkopf Skull Toaster burns a skull and crossbone into your toast at number 9. I think we covered that here before. Kind of cool, kind of awesome. Number 8, the pop-up toaster art, not pop art. So it has different little shapes that get burned in there. Are you seeing a little trend here? Number 7, the roller toaster, basically a giant bar where you insert toast into the rolling heating elements and it gets slightly toasted as it runs through. Kind of an interesting little space saver device. Number 6 is the wall mounted toaster, the Sunrise. It's painted to resemble a sun, and that's about all I can see about it. Number 5 is the toaster printer, yet another one of them, but this one prints whatever design you'd like to onto the bread. Awesome. Number 4, the very futuristic transparent toaster design. Basically two sheets of glass extending out of a silver base, and the toaster toasts before your very eyes. Number 3, Toast Automatica. Bring boring toasters back to life with style. Basically, it's the bar toaster, the roller toaster on its end with a toaster keeping slots behind it. Number 2, the Mule Toaster. It's an impressive concept art toaster. This is the concept art section here, so kind of fun. And number 1, the CNC Toaster Printer. Basically, it allows you to print whatever text you'd like onto toast via CNC kind of XY coordinate systems and hot air. Kind of fun. I thought we'd play around with that for a little bit. And then the last little thing we have here, I know we jumped all over the caffeinated links section, but we have a little error message that was found on a cake. Don't know if I showed this one before, but I thought it was fun to put out there again. The top starts off relatively normal. It says happy birthday to Elsa / Aunt Elsa. And then it gives you a bracket bang hyphen hyphen if T support empty Paris hyphen hyphen bracket bang hyphen end diff. And then it gives the what appears to be the woman's birth and death date. So what I'm thinking is it says happy birthday to Aunt Elsa, Aunt Elsa. And then it gives her age. And then it would say something to Binghamton, and then a whole bunch of stuff at the bottom. So, you know, I could see where it happened, but it didn't work out because it printed all the error messages and all the code on the cake instead. Awesome. I mean, I'd love to be the baker at that place. And what's that sound? That sound means it's time to wrap up the Caffeination Podcast here today. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this show. If it wasn't for you, this show would not be what it is today. You, the listeners out there. So we'd heartily suggest that or hope that you would share the show with other people. If you find it interesting, please, first of all, you know, hey, if you'd like to send us a note saying so, hey, we'd very appreciate that. I try and get back to everybody who emails me. That's caffeination@gmail.com. You can send in your comments, suggestions, feedback, whatever stories you'd like to see on the show, anything else like that. You can send that to caffeination@gmail.com, like we said. There's also caffeination.com is where this show lives. So if you give an MP3 to somebody, you burn it onto their iPod, or you put it onto their iPod, burn it onto a CD for them or whatnot, then you know, just give us a week. Give us 2 shows. See if they like us. We try and keep it nice and down-to-earth for everybody who's not necessarily of a technical background. But you can find it over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And we're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's BLUBRRY. That's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And speaking of MySpace, you can head on over to myspace.com/caffeination and find out all information about us over there. Add us to your friends. We'll add you to our friends. It'll be a whole big friend circle. And then finally, something we don't have up there, but if you're into Twitter, if you'd like to try that out, you can head on over to twitter.com/caffeination, and that's our page. Or if you get on over to the Caffeination main page, top left-hand corner, you'll see a little bit of a blurb about what we're doing here with the show and you know, anything that's happening of interest. Apparently, we've been posting the word plotterific quite often. So you might see that pop up a couple more times before the semester's over. Just hope everybody out there is having a good weekend and or good beginning of your week, rather. Completely thrown off at this point in time. No clue what day it is. So just like to thank everybody for listening. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.